Welcome to the Gatecast.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
We're off to see the wizard.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Good evening. Our continued lack of intro music means you just get me straight away. So this is Alan, a.k.a. FaZe.
You're still tired. This is Mike. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mike. And this evening's episode, as we're still going in disc order, is entitled Cold Lazarus. And for those of you that are watching as you listen, I'm clicking play, and this is also for Mike's benefit. Now, there'll be about a 3 second delay. Oh, no delay.
I've got a delay this time. Roar.
Fading in a blue sky, and Teok with a pair of sunglasses. O'Neil.
An impressive shot. Look at me, everybody.
I do not know. The infamous matte painting. Wow. And that can be pure matte painting because there's nothing actually moving in the foreground.
When I first watched this, you see Bugs Bunny, when he used to pop up out of the sand, look around and see nothing, and said, I should have took a left at Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I thought when I saw this.
The
bemused look.
Granite, not volcanic. I don't see any that aren't broken.
I say, I wonder if they've got the sun cream, because it looks pretty bright.
There's a whole one.
Looks like they've been blasted apart by something.
Say, there's a... Do you think that's all filter work, or is it literally just a lot of coloured sand? Or gravel?
I'd say there's definitely filter on the camera, because the light doesn't look quite right.
Teal.
Chances are, I doubt this is studio, this is probably somewhere out on the back lot.
Yeah.
Some of it could be post-production CG in the sand. Because you see that, you saw that white bit there?
Yeah.
That's probably what it actually looked like.
Well, Doctor Who never had any problems finding a gravel pit, did they? So, I suppose there must be one in Vancouver.
You think it's a gravel pit? It could actually be a desert. But I can't pay.
Canada
strikes me as verdant. But that's actual sky. There's no way that's a matte painting.
It could be Quebec.
Is Quebec that bad?
No, I watch too many Canadian comedy routines.
You mean anti-Canadian comedy routine?
No, no.
Oh, that was a mistake.
Whoa.
And Jack's unconscious.
Nice bit of stunt work. Got Teal standing guard. I will not move.
Nice split.
Don't know what he's
shot
looking
there.
At. Handsome devil, he's thinking.
To those of you noticing less blowing into the microphone this episode, it's not just my editing skills, it's the fact that I'm pointing the mic away from me when I'm not actually talking.
The wonders of modern technology.
I could just use a headset mic, but I don't think it would convey the same level of quality on my voice.
You know, this sand, it looks like the stuff you find at the bottom of fish tanks.
So... here's a question. How many goldfish died to make this episode? If you happen to have the transcript up, could you just throw me a link in either Skype or... Sorry, folks. In either Skype or Gizmo, so I can pop it up without having to...
Welcome back, SG-1. Debriefing will commence at 0900.
And we have Not Jack looking very puzzled, and I think we're fading to credits about... now?
Yep, we're in credits. So we've got Mysterious Jack. We don't know exactly who he is or what he is. Returned with the rest of the team. They haven't noticed any difference, which begs the question. Of course, if they did, the episode would be over pretty damn quick.
Yes, didn't we say that? Oh god, I forget what I was watching. You know, if this could be solved, it would only be a 10-minute whatever.
Yes, I guess you could say that virtually about every sort of show these days, can't we? There's always a lot to...
We'll discuss other shows after. Oh, no, that's not the transcript site I was using, I don't think.
No, I used the one on Gate World.
Yes, I was using Stargate Wiki.
I'm going to say, same transcript. And we get the title on screen, called Lazarus.
Brought back or being analyzed. And we explored a 10-kilometer radius around the gate without...
And Jack's just standing there.
Did you say a 10-kilometer
radius? The Goulds or anyone else have been through that gate in 1,000 years.
Tell me about these crystals.
We found thousands in a pit near the Stargate. Since we didn't find them anywhere else on the planet, it's likely that they were gathered.
Yeah, she did say 10-kilometer radius.
Early Greek cultures valued crystal and gemstones. Perhaps the pit has some religious or ceremonial significance.
Your report doesn't...
We have local population. Daniel trying to introduce the archaeological standpoint, explain why it's there.
Didn't find any unbroken crystals, but we have...
And gets it totally wrong. But we don't know that yet.
Flag this one, Colonel.
Yes, indeed.
Stand down until your next mission comes up.
So he gets one thing right about the pyramids and gods and everything else. He draws a blank.
Well, so far this series, anyway.
For those familiar with the Stargate movie, Jack's character lost his son in an accident, gunshot. And this is really the backstory of Jack's character.
Yeah, we get some nice backfill exposition.
Yeah.
So the sort of thin, filmy polystyrene, concrete-filled wall of Jack's character doesn't collapse for lack of backstory.
Oh, look at that. Young. Very young.
Does that look like, do you think, or is that a photo from Jack's, from Richard's past?
I'd imagine it's his family photos. There was one it looked like with his mother, so if that's the right one, why not the other?
That's our current Jack in military uniform.
And so the alien's getting kind of flashes of Jack's memory.
Mm-hmm.
He don't quite understand the context of everything.
Indeed not.
Hey, Colonel.
In fact, if we're going to tag episodes, we could call this one a Jack episode.
It certainly is a Jack episode.
In much the way, for those who listened to some of earlier episodes, I haven't edited it yet, but the next one published, The First Commandment is pretty much a Carter episode.
You don't have to hurry on my account.
With some faint backpilling.
Nice.
Yes, Sam.
You have a family.
Suddenly all modest. You'd have thought they'd have... separate changing rooms, you know, locker rooms. I mean, they built cells and quarantine cells. They've only got one.
They didn't build quarantine cells. They built.
Yeah, I know. They had rooms that they converted to quarantine.
Left over.
My point is, they've done it.
Bye.
There must be more than some more female personnel on the base, surely.
Yeah.
And if it has become the female locker room, why is Daniel there?
He must be in a hurry to get home.
Yeah, did he accidentally turn up late just in the hopes of a look-see?
I would.
He was, but they separated after his son died.
And Daniel tells Sam what little he knows about Jack's family.
We're back with Carter Super Moose Hold. Or Carter Super Hold Moose. Here we have the single bit of corridor that was actually built.
Colonel O'Neill, you are departing?
Yes.
You said one day
very abrupt there from Jack.
I would like to see it now.
Tilt looks a little puzzled.
Another time.
Jack puzzled.
Or named extra. For months and he doesn't say word.
That's the same bit of corridor. Recognize the piping. He just doesn't have. Although, an interesting point, you've got green and red stripes on the bottom, and the coloring is reversed on the piping.
All right, what do we have
highly suggestive piece of crystal.
God, Mike, again lowering the tone.
I'm sorry, but
believe me, if that's what you're suggesting it is, then that person needs to see a doctor badly.
Aliens come in all shapes and sizes.
I'm going to have a quick Indeed hump.
Charlie. Okay, we're in the lab where Sam and Danny are talking about whatever.
Yep.
Any Indeeds?
Indeed not.
Indeed not.
About his wife. Sarah, and I still say Carter's hair looks like it's been sculpted from plastic and molded and sort of dropped onto her head a la remember the old hairstyles you could pop onto the top of Lego men.
It's not that bad.
Can you tell what did it? It's solid. For me it might shed a little light on what the significance of the pit was and who put them there. Yeah, at least Danny's hair moves a little, although you know maybe they seem to be almost mirroring hairstyles. Just looking at the two of them there.
Yeah.
If any of our fans think we've become hair obsessed, let us know.
Okay, we're back at Jack's former house, where he's visiting his ex-wife. Do we call him Not Jack?
Hello, sir. We can call him Not Jack.
Hello, sir.
He's practicing the voice.
And we get his wife. Yeah. We get his
wife
fixing
there's
the
an implied level of threat.
What, from Not Jack?
Yeah. It's a kind of, it's unknown, it's dangerous, it can hurt Jack.
Just standing there watching.
Been there long?
Yes.
Do you think there's a faint resemblance to Carter?
I did. The hairdo is very similar, isn't it?
I'm sure that's deliberate. It's to evoke a response, I think.
Yeah. She's good with her hands, same as Carter.
Something wrong.
I think it's the ignition.
I don't think Carter would be repairing an engine. Carter's more of a tech.
Teal'c I'm pretty sure she'd be able to do it. Teal'c? So an internal combustion engine? So I don't think so. Give him a Haynes manual, maybe.
Did you?
I used to own a Haynes manual until I bought a car that really you needed the garage to fix if it went wrong.
My car's 10 years old. You still need a garage to fix it.
I need Charlie. That's his bicycle, isn't it?
I kept some of his things.
Yes.
Jack likes blondes. Who are good with their hands.
Jack does not... Not Jack doesn't remember that Charlie is no longer with us.
Don't! Work on me. What the hell is wrong with you? Is this your idea?
She's really upset now.
Get away from me.
Sarah.
Yeah, but you can accept
don't understand.
Not Jack's response here. It's you know it's a very human response to the loss of a child, isn't it? Denial almost. Well, it is denial, isn't it? Really.
Son, if upsetting her is your way
with
of
a blue
trying
tinge.
To win a woman's heart, it's a stupid one. Anyone ever tell you that? I think you just.
That's nice. Still gets on pretty well with his ex-father-in-law. Normally he'd be out there with a shotgun.
Yeah. And let's sort of deliver an exposition.
TV!
Yes, we have here, and we're going to drop into a short audio clip in a second. Teal'c's first experience of television. And here's the audio clip now. And we're back.
Listen, we need to stop by
the male of the species, any race in the universe knows how to handle a remote.
Yes, and the way to handle a remote is give it to your partner. Give up now. surrender control of the remote.
I say though, I mean, he flicks through all these channels. I don't know if this is a special Air Force feeds, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of entertainment on this network.
Well, it's American. I think what they're flicking through is the three American networks.
Depressing day for news, that must have been. Back in,
back with Not Jack.
Back with Not Jack.
We have him playing with the child's things.
Yeah.
So this is being quite a sportsman. Oh god, I'm getting a bit cynical here, but isn't he the son of a typical all-American tassel-haired kid? Sarah comes
up here and talks to us. You get that impression, don't you?
You do. You get the impression that, I mean, like, if you're watching a film or even TV series, see a kid like disappear, you think he's not going to last the first 10 minutes of the movie. Either he's going to die or his parents are going to die and he's going to go through a sort of coming-of-age transformation. You know, Jack, for an Irish well, I've read a lot of script books, what you call a beauty shot,
that never mattered, yeah.
You know, sort of a perfectly filmed, bright sunlight, everything's crystal clear, it's too good to be true.
Some nice bit of writing in this scene, though.
Yes, as if just to sort of point out to the Americans if they didn't know, O'Neill is actually an Irish surname. And speaking from a personal nationalistic standpoint, it's one of the few surnames that even you guys don't mangle. That can be started on Gallagher.
Oh, to be fair, I had a relative who were a Gallagher.
Yeah, it's the system he was brought up in, wasn't it?
Mm.
We digress, muchly. I'm just conscious, having edited the episode, of how much dead air we actually had before. I mean, I trimmed from a 44.5-minute episode. Even having put in about 3.5 minutes of audio clips, it was still shorter.
I think a lot of the time, you know, we're both looking at the picture. I mean, this whole sequence is, you really want to listen to it.
It's very visual. I'm not listening to it, fortunately. Having watched the episode and with the transcript in front of me, Jack tenderly holding the... Okay, no, I'm sorry, this just isn't Jack. The sort of jogging along, "Hi, honey, I'm home."
Yeah, even before this, he was still Black Ops.
He's not going to be all fluffy bunny.
Not in a bit, anyway. Yeah, he was running around here a few
minutes ago. Oh.
So you know what's coming.
That's why it's all fluffy bunny. It's a flagrant setup.
Yeah.
A kid gets an award. Jack's home. Bang. And I gotta say, I mean, it's a little heavy-handed, but what the hell did he leave a loaded service revolver in the house when he wasn't there for?
It's not sensible, is it? Even you'd expect him to have the magazine and the gun in separate places, at least.
Oh, this is good. I should have actually lifted the audio clip from this bit.
Yeah. Did we have permission to fire this?
I may actually lift this audio clip additionally.
It's a good clip. What's going on in there?
You received permission for me to fire my staff weapon in the gate room?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
There is a clip, and it's cited. I know I said it wouldn't do spoilers, but for those of you who are listening, skip forward about 23 seconds. Do you recall the scene in the episode Holiday where Jack is playing golf through the Stargate?
Who doesn't?
And spoilers on over. We should see if the energy signatures are the same or not. So I'm assuming that crystal was already dead. They haven't blasted
I'd hope so.
Otherwise
they killed it.
Had they?
They did take some back, some fragments. They found one intact one and some bigger fragments.
Matches up.
It was Goa'uld technology that destroyed the crystals.
Yeah, I'd say a whole mess of the staff weapons did it.
So which bit is she scanning? Or is she, does she have two scanners?
Could be comparing the previous whole one scan against the damaged one.
Well, the one in pieces. What were you doing up
there? Do you remember how much fun Charlie used to have playing that game?
Baseball?
And we have, that was another long pause by us. This is sort of, this is a very, very exposition-y episode.
It's virtually all backstory, isn't it? You have about 10 minutes of A plot and 30 minutes of B plot.
It's not even a B plot. It's filling. It's good filling. I think they've established that it's Showtime. If you tried this 8 episodes in on Fox, you'd be cancelled so fast your head would spin.
You would. Yeah. You may not even make it to air.
I know a lot of shows didn't.
Yeah.
No pauses. Long pauses I will have to edit out. Yeah, folks, I'm recording this episode, you see. This is the first one we've recorded since I sat down. And just to give you some idea, folks, nothing I'm boasting. It takes roughly 3 to 4 times the length an episode takes to record to edit it together into something that's actually faintly broadcastable. As Mike's experimental edited episode, which will be going up tonight, will show you. Military bravado.
I don't think I have it. Yeah, it does take a while to do. I mean, one of the advantages is when you're playing the episode soundtrack in the background. What? You don't always want to do that, of course. I mean, some podcasts seem to get away with it and some tippy-toe around it.
Well, some people like to... actually have the layer your chat on top of the episode and then fade it in and out. No, I don't think we're that faithful to the episode. We wander about the place and make comments like how shiny Teal's head is. Here's another little audio clip.
It was me.
Yeah, Danny just got the fright of his life.
Yeah, Danny's really dead. He's like...
Danny did it. Nothing compared to the price he's going to get, of course.
My reflection, so...
Closer.
Look at it. Stare at it real hard.
This is the... I think we have a brief audio clip coming up here. And that was the audio clip. Thank you, folks.
Yep. Now
that
the gate's spinning up.
That was the crystal face saying, help us. And here, we're going to get another audio clip here. Almost immediately afterwards. I really probably shouldn't have separated them, but... This is the gate dialing through.
Yep, to them, another mystery. No teams due back. And the code's been entered, bypassing the iris.
I think they introduced an override to that later.
I've always wondered why people don't stand behind the Stargate.
Where's the iris? Someone used
the remote. You know,
you think it'd be the safest place.
Well, yeah, and then you can somebody comes through, you just, take one step to the side and put some bullets into the back.
Possibly. Here's an interesting point, and listeners, if you have any ideas, because it's never covered, what happens if you fire an object from the back of an active wormhole? Where does it go?
What's with all the ordnance? Who are you?
Good question.
What do you mean?
You see, these things occur.
Doubtless
there's some fanfic out there which has covered it.
Fanfiction.net for all your fanfic needs.
So this is the real Jack.
Yes, this is the real Jack.
Yep.
Looking suitably pissed off.
Woken up with no hat, no gun.
But the thing didn't take the GDE.
Yeah, lucky that.
Let me put it nicely. Get me the hell out of here!
That isn't O'Neill. I want to know who the hell we're looking at.
We're searching the facility now, sir.
No, you see, Thomas Davis seems convinced.
Well, even Sam does a bit when she smiles. She realises that's Jack.
I'm waiting for you to see. If only because that Jack seems to have greyer hair than this one. Just trying to apply. Is this so we can tell the difference?
Yeah, it's as good an excuse as any. I mean, the alien could be thinking this is what Jack thinks he looks like.
Jack doesn't acknowledge the grey in his hair, doesn't see it in the mirror.
Yeah, when he looks in the mirror, it's nice Stovall Brown.
Yeah, this is the discussion in the park between Jack and Jack's ex-wife, who's quite upset.
That's why I left. Yeah, and we see not Jack seems to be a lot more comfortable dealing with these emotions than the real Jack. Obviously, he hasn't had the emotional baggage to go with it. But in this case, it's exactly what Sarah needs, it seems.
Yeah, but there, I mean, Sarah's sitting there nibbling at food, presumably. Isn't she wondering why Jack isn't eating?
He's probably just not hungry. Perhaps he never liked her sandwich making.
What did you expect? It happened in our house. It was your gun.
Okay, she's got a mole just underneath her right eye.
I know you blamed yourself.
And I think just as Jack is getting all Bondy and fluffy bunny, he's about to collapse, isn't he?
Yep. I mean, he's repeatedly mentioned the Stargate, which really does seem to annoy her because there's no context for it.
Yep. And is she going to have to sign an NDC now?
Probably.
After all this time?
I'm sorry it took so long. It should have been said sooner.
Is that what you came to tell me?
There's no way to make you understand what I came here to do. You couldn't understand.
Try me.
I thought if I could bring Charlie back through the Stargate...
Just shut up about that, would you? Charlie is gone, Jack. And we should be talking about us and what happened and not... Jack? My God. Jack? Jack, what is that? What's happened to you? We gotta get you to the hospital. The MRI was negative.
There's lines of electricity running over Jack, neatly drawn into frame through CG. I like the way the light was flickered onto her. It was a nice effect.
Healthy doesn't cut.
Well, the evidence says he's Colonel Jack O'Neill.
Thank you, Doctor.
Then how do you explain the other one?
What other one? What?
Okay, so that's not possible. I didn't come back with you guys.
What the hell is that thing?
The EM energy in the one intact crystal we brought back from P3X562 may hold the key to this.
Explain.
The electromagnetic energy in the crystal has the ability to mimic things. It recreated Daniel and I, cloned us electronically, at least part of us. It seemed to read our thoughts and speech and mimic them too. Now, what if the other O'Neill is energy just like the thing Daniel and I found in the crystal, only a more powerful, more evolved form of it? One powerful enough to copy a whole person, not just faces.
Is that what we're looking at?
Could be.
And it tried to communicate with you?
It asked for our help.
This may not work. Hello? Hello. What are you?
Energy. Unity. You would describe me thus.
And we're back. Sorry, folks, but technical issues on my end. As you just heard, the crystal describes itself as energy. We have a sort of interesting sketch in blue of Carter. Sort of Andy Warhol interpretation of Carter's face, perhaps. But for obvious reasons, not even solid crystals can replicate that hairstyle.
It describes itself as unity. So a collective intelligence.
Not far. This is something that bothers me about this episode. It's like, I can no longer sustain my energy. And you think they'd take it back through the bloody gate?
You'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
You know, rather than just leave it there to die.
Yeah, take it back to the gate, take a table and a tent and talk to it right there.
No, let's leave it here where it's been killed by Earth's magnetic field. Yeah, that's compassionate, that's thoughtful. If that energy is dissipated, it wouldn't be able to pull back from the face.
Well, its natural state is the standard crystal structure, isn't it? So
this is the equivalent of a person pulling a face while they're awake.
What was that?
The ideas.
And then when they collapse into consciousness, everything.
The resting state. And it confirms that the Gwold were responsible for the extermination of the entire race, almost the entire race.
That's true. Another stock shot of the outside. And here we have the reefing room.
Oh, dear. She's got bad news.
Yes, exposition-y, Sam. Yes, ionizing radiation. Not good.
If anybody's going to blow this base up, it's me, not some crystal.
Well, why didn't that one emit ionizing radiation and blow half the base up?
Yes,
I see Don hasn't been paying attention to his head shaving regime. There's a distinct sort of ring of hair around the back. And he looks like, I'm properly bald, I am.
It starts breaking down like the energy in the crystals, and it's more powerful than what we have here. Then anyone nearby could get a lethal dose of radiation.
Well, if that's true, we have a very serious problem on our hands. Let's hope it's not.
Something else. I've been thinking about where it went. Sir, it was in your locker looking through your personal stuff. Pictures of your...
Jack's ringing his house.
Remember to press 9 to get an outside line.
Answering machine. Now, wasn't her dad there? Where did her dad go?
He probably went. He must have gone out fishing.
We have a nice reference coming up here from Teok to his experience watching television.
Yes, we do.
I may actually drop that audio clip in as well. Yeah, I think I will. That's a good one. I should have captured that one. Now, that was a very brave thing that General Hammond did.
Yeah.
He just Teok allowed him to grab the staff off him because nobody takes that thing off Teok.
General Hammond respects.
If General Hammond were still a bad guy, his head would be smeared across the wall in a very thin layer.
The Windy City, home of the Blackhawks, the Bulls, and the White Sox.
It's good when you can disguise an alien with your weird hat.
Yes, is this bubble hat to you? You know, and only our British listeners will get this, and only those of a certain vintage. Benny from Crossroads, the original advocate of the bubble hat.
Oh, yes. You don't get soap characters like that anymore.
Not Jack is lying there. You do in this country. And that wonderful piece of radio telefiche here in Fair City, which is known as Fairly, and I think you can guess the other word. I'm not going to say it. I'm trying to keep our swear count down and our iTunes count up. When the episode's over, folks, I'm going to just throw a few stats in purely to interest you. And I will remind you during this brief exposition-y scene that it's gatecast at phasecast.com for any and all feedback. Jack seems to be, I think he actually burnt our hand there.
I'd say, not Jack is in serious trouble, his energy is leaking out.
Yes,
blowing everything up.
Fluorescent lights are exploding dramatically.
I wonder how many people on life support in the ECU died because of this. They don't tell you about these things.
No, they don't. I mean, certainly ICU patients can't be moved. But we're going to shut the power down anyway, even if there could be operations ongoing at the moment.
Yeah, tells the doctor, should he shut the power? What is the doctor exactly going to do? Run off to find the janitor?
Oh yeah, that's good. Are these uniforms, here's a major technical question I've got. Are these uniforms radiation proof?
I doubt it very much.
Then why did they only put on the hoods?
It's standard SG policy. Doesn't matter if it's the biochemical radiation or anything. They have a suit with a hood that's not airtight.
Okay, I want to hear all about it, but not now. You okay?
Yeah.
What room?
So all we have is this hood and nothing else. And Jack's black T-shirt is obviously proof it must be impregnated with lead.
It's 1950s surplus. Duck and cover. You'll be safe from a nuclear explosion.
Isn't Dr. Covey and Kisha behind the boy?
That's basically the end result.
Ah, the CSI shot.
Great full of shots. Borrowed him from the X-Files.
I was thinking CSI, actually. Of course, the advantage of the hood is they can have Jack and not Jack on screen at the same time.
Can't go like.
Without having to bother with complicated split screen and dual filming effects.
In fact, is it Jack? Get a close up of his eye, that looks like Jack's eye. And get the
yeah, well,
get
that's because it's only a single
rest.
Shot.
How are we doing with the power?
Turned off as much of the grid as possible.
You shut down all day.
I mean, there we've got Jack lying on the ground doing the I want an Emmy for this. And we have an audio clip of this, which I'm going to drop in here.
It's all right.
And we're back since the episode is still playing. What's actually happening in the background as watching it is just post audio clip. It's just basically Jack explaining to Jack that he doesn't want to hurt him. You know, self-harm is wrong.
Yeah. And not Jack is warning him away. And he should have listened. And then goes flying through the air into a medicine rack.
And breaks the bloody Geiger counter. Now, it's the first Geiger counter I've seen which reads directly without an attached probe.
It's got a little probe there, isn't it?
Possibly. Primeval era science. Yeah, the power's back on.
Yep, emergency power. Radiation's low enough so we can all take off these hoods because it's killing me here.
But it's not! See? It's still before
a little,
repair
a little wave, a little shake,
and it's
back.
A little shake and zing. It's like that memory form spectacles. You know, bend it, twist it, shape it, it just springs back.
Of course, not Jack is still worried about being killed.
Yes, because he recognises that Jafar, and Jafar not to be trusted. Bad Jafar. We really get this laid on quite thick in season 1, don't we?
Yeah.
It's actually hard to believe we're almost halfway through season 1 because Stargate seasons are only 20 episodes long.
Yeah, the good stuff does fly by.
Well, the fact that we're recording one episode a week, I'm hoping our listenership goes up into double figures, or into treble figures, rather. It's into double figures. And more exposition-y stuff, which I'm not going to bother dropping in. Frankly, I mean, there's so much audio in this episode, to quote Aaron on Sci-Fi Dig, I could have pretty much just dropped in bits and pieces from the episode, and we could have a little 5-minute chat between, like, 3-minute-long audio clips, but that's not what you're not paying to hear.
This is really the episode for that sort of production, though, isn't it?
But despite the large amount of exposition, there's still quite a lot of... God, Daniel looks young there. Daniel without glasses, he looks about 19.
I feared it. As I feared those who destroyed my race. I tried to make you well.
And we're before going to see... Yeah, the other Jack... Actual Jack. Not Jack looks younger than actual Jack. You can clearly see the difference in these shots between the hair. And even the face, Jack looks more lined and jelly.
Your deepest
not Jack's face looks smoother.
Not the physical injury.
That's where the makeup artists send the money.
Your
well, yeah, I suppose given that this is filmed in, 1993 or 94, don't suppose we can blame Botox. Yes, more sort of happy shots of Charlie now dead.
Well, that had a future, baseball, basketball. No longer exist
as flesh. Other things with balls and beginning with
physical feet. Physical death does not have the same meaning to us.
Tuok had a bit of an that moment there.
Yes. Mostly what we don't know about the... Well, I'll forget saying that just in case it could be a spoiler.
I could not bring Charlie. Charlie's gone.
Nice little cuts in there.
Not Jack.
Nicely done.
Nice fade, and that's very nicely cut together, actually. Here. And now we have not Jack as not Charlie. And the effect of actual Jack.
Very freaky.
For Jack, yeah, you can imagine. I mean, you've tried to sort of bury this. Figuratively as well as literally. Just as I cannot change the day. You see, this reveals Jack's vulnerable side, and Jack really doesn't like exposing this much of himself.
I'm showing you what I've done. Right now, though, he hasn't really got much of a choice. He's probably looking as only his rest of his team here.
Mm-hmm. Where are the rest of the team there with the radiation?
I don't know. Well, they've said it radiation's dropped to a safe level. Still there. But right now it's safe.
Bear in mind, what's considered a safe level, your risk of cancer, your lethal dose, isn't the amount you're exposed to in a given go. It's a lifetime exposure.
Yeah.
You could have 20 years at what's considered a safe level, but it's constant exposure. It's still going to bloody kill you.
Yeah, they probably figure if they keep going through the Stargate, you know, what's a little extra? I'm pretty sure that's not safe. Now we get Sarah confronted with Charlie.
Yeah, she's like, what?
Now, if she fainted, I'd have believed that. If she'd have run away screaming, I'd have believed that.
Yeah, just that. Maybe she's sort of rigid with shock.
Could be.
Well, maybe she's had a concert set there because she knows that it wasn't actually Jack.
Yeah.
So, maybe, now, what I'd have thought there, and what I actually expected to happen there, was him to heal her hand. And her to take the bandage off and find the burn gone.
No, she's not lucky.
Sorry?
But there's nothing to indicate that Salem could do that anyway.
Well, he healed Jack. He did say so. He exposited when Jack met him first.
He tried to heal him.
He couldn't bring him all the way. He couldn't heal him fully. Or bring him conscious, but he did sort of make an effort. Well, resuming he, I mean, the point is, I presume this alien isn't necessarily a he or a she. It's a sort of crystalline entity, so sex may not.
Yeah. It's just one part of a whole.
One wonders, does it reproduce by bifurcating? You know what he said. Yes, I'm throwing in complex words just to annoy listeners.
Yes, that's a big word.
We were pretty great together, weren't we?
It's only four syllables. We were the greatest. It's not that big. Of course, I quit Skype, so I don't know if Scott actually came on. Scott said he'd try. Scott, by the way, folks, said he'd try and join us for the end of this episode, but.
Yep, and finally, Sarah understands about the Stargate, and Charlie's going to go back up.
Take care of yourself, Jack.
Well, she doesn't understand. I'm assuming she's going to have
to sign
a disclosure agreement.
That's
true. And there's another short audio clip here just that we closed the episode with now. And we're back.
Yeah, good one that was.
I'll be back.
And this thing sort of, this is a sort of a fade to gloop. Ah, there it is. And we have end credits. It's a very exposition heavy episode, as I've said. Any thoughts, Mike?
It's an episode I enjoyed because it told a hell of a lot of Jack's backstory. We knew the basics from the movie, and the little bits have been hinted at in the, you know, the episode so far. But I think it really does give Jack's character a basis to work from. He's not just this super soldier, not just this covert Black Ops killer. He was actually a family man at one time. His marriage broke up because of the death of his son, not because he was some cold-hearted sod. And while the actual episode long is all exposition backstory, it's written very well. And it's an episode I enjoy watching.
That's true. I was even quite happily sat through it twice in less than a week. And yes, folks, if I didn't say this earlier in the recording, I did actually watch the episode before we recorded. This is, of course, slightly stunning to my co-host here. But what I'm going to do now is... Actually, no, I'll tell him the stats. I doubt there's been any email. If there is email from this episode, please, folks, gatecast@phasecast.com. It's our feedback address. And send hints, thoughts, voicemails, etc., etc.
Yep. Anything you can think of.
For those of us that are in the US or Canada or who can dial other countries for half nothing... We also have a voicemail line. Now, that line is on our homepage, www.gatecast.co.cc. But for those of you that aren't really listening to that, I would say don't have internet, but let's face it, if you didn't have internet, you wouldn't be listening to this. This is, it's a US number, it's 206-350-5639. I may even try and pull up a small prize for anyone who can come up with a gate-related... Stagout-related word from those numbers. Bearing in mind, 123 doesn't actually have any letters on it, so it's a space. I think I'm going to call it a day. This episode was recorded on the 23rd of July and should be up, based on my current release schedule, no later than the 10th of August. I've been Alan.
And I'm Mark.
So anyhow.
Take care, everybody.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike. Technical support from Scott. Visit Gatecast at gatecast.co.cc.